Welcome to the EQ Fit Podcast. Our mission is to equip people to prosper in every aspect of their life. Whether you're at home or in the workplace, we explore practical ways of improving success, satisfaction, finding balance, and building enjoyable and beneficial relationships. Thank you for joining us.
Welcome to today's deep dive.
Ow.
I mean, I am genuinely thrilled you are joining us for this one. We're taking a close look at this fascinating paradox in the business world today.
Oh, it really is a paradox.
Right. Because leaders who genuinely believe they are the absolute most in control, you know, the ones who pride themselves on being perfectly stoic and collected, mm-hmm. are very often the exact same leaders who are unknowingly terrifying their teams the most.
Yeah, it is the ultimate blind spot. You think you are projecting stability to your organization, but what you are actually broadcasting is this invisible high voltage current that completely short circuits the people around you.
Wow.
Because you aren't raising your voice or slamming doors. You just operate under this assumption that everything is completely fine.
You think you are a rock, but you are actually a live wire.
Exactly.
And that hidden emotional current is secretly running your business right now. It dictates your team's daily behavior. It shapes your strategic decision-making. And, well, it ultimately impacts your bottom line.
It absolutely does.
So today, our mission is to decode this inner operating system. We are diving into a brilliant piece from EQ Fit by Steve Goodner. It's titled Self-Regulation, What's the Temperature?
Such a great piece.
It really is. We are going to explore why trying to appear perfectly calm is actually a toxic strategy, and how mastering just one crucial half second, like that tiny window between a stimulus and your response,
mm-hmm.
can completely transform how your company operates.
Right. And this goes far beyond generic advice about, you know, just being a more empathetic boss. Mm-hmm. We are analyzing the physiological realities of leadership.
Yeah, the actual biology.
Exactly. Because when you understand the mechanics behind your own reactions, you can fundamentally change the trajectory of the ecosystem you manage.
Okay, let's unpack this. Goodner opens the article with a story that I suspect is going to hit uncomfortably close to home for you. It centers on a leader named Daniel.
Right, Daniel.
And Daniel is entirely convinced he doesn't have a self-regulation problem. He firmly believes he has a team problem.
Yeah, he feels his staff is constantly hiding information from him. Essentially, you know, holding out until the last possible minute to tell him anything.
So, picture the scenario. It is a Tuesday morning leadership meeting. Historically, this was Daniel's favorite hour of the week. But today, his operations manager, Priya, opens the discussion with a sentence she has very clearly been rehearsing in her car out in the parking lot.
Oh, you can just feel the tension.
You really can. She looks at him and says, Daniel, we are not going to make the May install date for the Henderson account.
Ooh. A textbook, high stakes, bad news drop. I mean, it is the ultimate test of an executive's baseline composure.
Right. Now, pay attention to Daniel's reaction here. He does not yell.
No.
He almost never yells, which is the primary reason he has convinced himself for years that he is this incredibly steady leader. But his physical response is so much subtler and ultimately far more corrosive to his team's trust.
Because we are looking at a deeply ingrained physiological response, even if it lacks volume.
Exactly. When Priya drops the news, Daniel's jaw visibly sets. He leans back in his chair, creating physical distance. He lets out this slow, highly audible breath strictly through his nose.
Yeah, the classic sigh.
Right. And his vocal register drops half an octave, losing all its usual warmth, and he simply says, okay, walk me through how we got here, step by step.
I mean, if you read a transcript of that meeting, Daniel's words look like excellent measured management.
Very logical.
Totally. He is asking for a logical breakdown of a problem. But the physical delivery, the unspoken tension in his posture and tone, well, it tells a wildly different story to the people in that room.
And the room reads that tension instantly. Priya's shoulders lock up. Oh. The CFO suddenly decides the rim of his coffee cup is the most fascinating object on the planet and completely avoids eye contact.
Everyone just turtles up.
Yeah. And there is even a new hire sitting at the end of the table who actually walked in with a clever creative workaround for the Henderson account.
Oh, that's the worst part.
It is. Because in real time, watching Daniel's micro expressions, they decide today is absolutely not the day to stick their neck out. The next 40 minutes just devolve into an overly polite, incredibly careful presentation.
The dynamic problem-solving session just vanishes.
Oof. Gone. Everyone's sole objective is simply navigating the hour without upsetting Daniel any further. And the kicker here is that Daniel never even registers that his team is walking on eggshells.
Which perfectly contextualizes the conversation Daniel eventually has with the author of our source. Daniel sits down with Goodner and complains, "My team won't bring me bad news fast enough. By the time an issue reaches my desk, it's already a massive, uncontainable fire."
But the author doesn't validate Daniel's complaint, though. He pivots and asks Daniel to examine his own physical state during that Tuesday meeting. He asks, "When Priya told you about the missed date, what actually happened inside your chest?"
Such a great question.
Daniel thinks about it and realizes that the exact moment he heard the bad news, he felt an intense, burning heat right behind his sternum, like an instant flare of adrenaline. But he didn't acknowledge it or process it. He just, as he put it, ran the meeting through it.
What's fascinating here is the massive disconnect between Daniel's perception and his actual impact. He was operating under the assumption that his team was just flawed and risk averse.
But they weren't.
No, Daniel didn't have a team problem. He had a thermostat problem. His suppressed emotion, that literal heat behind his sternum, was quietly, invisibly dictating the behavior of his entire business ecosystem.
You know, I look at Daniel's suppressed reaction like a black hole. When we think of bad leadership, we usually picture explosive supernovas. They're loud, destructive, and obvious. You can see the damage.
Right, the yellers and table pounders.
Exactly. But Daniel is a black hole. It doesn't make a loud noise. It doesn't look violent from a distance. But its gravitational pull is so incredibly dense that it instantly sucks all the creative energy, psychological safety, and honesty right out of the room. Nothing escapes that pull. Not even a brilliant workaround from a new hire.
The gravity of a black hole bends the trajectory of everything around it, much like a leader's unacknowledged emotional state bends the behavior of their team. And, well, this brings us to the core metaphor of Goodner's work, the internal thermostat.
Let's get under the hood of that metaphor, because recognizing the damage is one thing, but we really need to understand what this internal thermostat is actually doing and why it breaks down in the first place.
Think about the mechanical thermostat on your wall. It performs two distinct functions. First, it has a sensor to accurately read the current temperature of the room. Second, it kicks on a mechanism to regulate that temperature back to a predetermined set point.
Makes sense.
So self-regulation in leadership operates on the exact same principles. A healthy, regulated leader accurately senses the emotional temperature rising inside themselves, like Daniel's chest heat, and then they regulate it back to a baseline that allows them to actively listen, think clearly, and make rational decisions.
But when that internal sensor fails, the whole system collapses.
Exactly. Two critical failures occur. First, the leader stops feeling the heat rising. They lose touch with their own physiological state. Second, because they cannot sense the heat, they completely fail to regulate it. The excess heat just radiates outward.
Leaking into the room.
Right. And here is the absolute most critical takeaway for you, especially if you run a small or mid-sized business. The leader is the room. The ecosystem has no choice but to adjust to the temperature you are unknowingly emitting.
That is a staggering reality to confront. The leader is the room. And the biological mechanics driving this are fascinating. The source digs deep into the neuroscience of that tiny window of time, the half second immediately following a high-stakes trigger.
We are talking about a deeply ingrained survival mechanism that unfortunately works against us in a modern corporate setting. When a piece of bad news drops, like Priya's missed deadline, your amygdala, which serves as the brain's primitive threat detection center, sounds a massive alarm.
It treats a deadline like a tiger.
Yes. It does not differentiate between a missed install date and a physical predator. It perceives the bad news as a literal threat to your survival.
Which initiates a physical cascade that you cannot just wish away.
The moment that amygdala alarm sounds, blood flow is immediately and measurably diverted away from the prefrontal cortex. And the prefrontal cortex is the evolutionary neighborhood of your brain responsible for executive judgment, complex planning, perspective taking, and impulse control.
So basically the exact part of the brain you need to run a business.
Exactly. But the blood abandons that area to prepare your body's major muscle groups to either fight or flee.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Wait, let me push back on this for a second to make sure I'm understanding the literal biology here.
Go for it.
You're saying that when a leader gets stressed out about losing a client or missing a deadline, the actual physical gray matter that makes good, rational business decisions is actively being starved of blood.
Yes.
They're physically incapacitated from thinking at their highest level in that exact moment.
That is precisely what the neuroscience confirms. The biological machinery required for complex, nuanced problem solving is temporarily taken offline.
Wow.
This means your most critical, high-stakes business responses are suddenly being generated by the entirely wrong neighborhood of your brain, a primitive center that only understands survival, fight or flight, and immediate self-preservation. It does not understand long-term strategy or team morale.
That completely upends how we usually judge emotional control. We tend to view reactivity as a simple character flaw or lack of discipline. Mm-hmm. But is it biological hijack? Your brain is actively working against your professional interests.
Which perfectly explains why relying on sheer willpower to just stay calm is a losing battle. True self-regulation isn't about somehow becoming immune to feeling threatened.
Right.
It is about mastering that specific half-second pause between the physical stimulus, the amygdala sounding the alarm, and your external response.
Yeah.
You have to create enough temporal space for the blood to flow back into your prefrontal cortex before you open your mouth or hit send on an email.
So if our biology is fighting this hard against us, how does this actually play out in our daily routines? Goodner moves away from the MRI machine and into the boardroom to analyze where leaders typically fall apart when that thermostat breaks.
He has categorized these failures into four distinct arenas based on decades of observation. These are the environments where a lack of regulation extracts the heaviest toll on a company.
Let's talk about the first arena, pure reactivity. This is the one that probably keeps most managers up at night.
Oh, absolutely.
It is the impulsive, highly charged Slack message you fire off at 10 p.m. because you saw a minor error, or making a snap decision to terminate a long-standing vendor relationship over one single delayed shipment because you were just fed up in the moment.
Reactivity is simply the shortest possible road between an emotional surge and an action you will inevitably regret. Self-regulation is the act of lengthening that road. If you can force a 20-minute delay, you give the rational parts of your brain time to re-engage. The outcome changes entirely.
But the triggers aren't always sudden emails or missed shipments. The source points heavily to the arena of uncertainty, specifically highlighting the sheer panic surrounding the AI era right now.
Oh, yeah. The baseline uncertainty of doing business has just skyrocketed.
And that baseline anxiety acts like a low-grade fever on an unregulated leader. When faced with this kind of chronic uncertainty, they usually fall into one of two extremes. They either succumb to massive fear of missing out, impulsively buying enterprise licenses for every shiny new AI tool without a strategy, just to feel like they are doing something.
Right, just action for the sake of action.
Or they go the opposite direction. Paralyzed by the fear of making a misstep, they stubbornly reject all change and mock the new technology just to mask their anxiety.
Both of those reactions are just panic wearing a business suit. A regulated leader, someone with a working thermostat, has a third option. They can feel the anxiety of the unknown, but they choose deliberate, conscious adoption rather than impulsive action or stubborn paralysis.
Which makes total sense.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the third arena, intense pressure. When the stakes get incredibly high, the source notes that our default coping mechanisms just take over the wheel.
Yeah, everyone has a default state under pressure. Some leaders go big, they raise their voice, they talk rapidly, they micromanage every detail because controlling others makes them feel safe.
And others go small.
Right. They shrink back, they become overly accommodating, and they avoid necessary conflict while quietly boiling with resentment.
And some just go completely cold. They detach, become hyperlogical to the point of cruelty, and disconnect from the human beings they're supposed to be leading through the crisis. The danger isn't that you have a default mechanism. The danger is running that mechanism blindly.
Which flows right into the final arena, setbacks. Losing a major account, a product launch that fails miserably, an expensive executive hire who quits after 3 months. Yeah. A regulated leader still feels the deep sting of those failures, but their recovery time is drastically shorter. They grieve the loss, extract the necessary data, and immediately re-engage. An unregulated leader gets trapped in a doom loop of blame, endlessly replaying the failure and stalling the company's momentum for entire quarters.
Looking at all this, the reactivity, the panic over AI, the default behaviors under pressure, I have to ask a blunt question. Is the ultimate goal of all this work just to become an emotionless robot?
It's definitely not.
Because if I am leading a team through a massive crisis, isn't it my professional obligation to maintain a perfect poker face? If I admit I am terrified about a missed deadline, won't my team just panic too?
This raises an important question, and it goes right to the heart of what most executives misunderstand about emotional intelligence. The goal is absolutely not to become a robot. Goodner makes a profound distinction between being conscious and being perfectly calm. True regulation is not suppression.
Right, because suppressing the emotion just creates that black hole effect we talked about with Daniel.
Precisely. You can force your face to remain impassive, but the suppressed anxiety will leak out. It leaks into your vocal tone, your micro expressions, your body language. It influences your subconscious decisions about who gets assigned a major project or why you are suddenly hypercritical of a specific department.
Suppressed emotion ends up running the company from the shadows.
Exactly. A truly regulated entrepreneur still feels the intense heat. They feel the fear, the urgency, and the frustration. They don't numb themselves to the reality of the business. The difference is they make that emotion conscious.
Well, yeah.
They are fully aware they're operating hot, and they manage that state rather than spending all their energy trying to physically mask it. The emotion is in the car, but the leader is sitting in the driver's seat with both hands on the wheel.
And the return on investment for keeping your hands on the wheel is staggering. The Source provides compelling research to back this up. It traces back to a famous longitudinal study, you know, the marshmallow test.
Ah, yes, the delayed gratification study.
Right. It demonstrated that a child's early ability to regulate an immediate impulse, like delaying the urge to eat a marshmallow to earn a second one, later predicted massive long-term success. Decades later, those individuals exhibited higher academic achievement, better health markers, vastly more financial stability, and stronger interpersonal relationships.
Because the core mechanism is the exact same in adulthood, delaying the immediate reactive urge in favor of a better long-term outcome.
And that data maps directly onto the modern workplace. The Source highlights a recent business management study that specifically analyzed leaders of small and mid-sized businesses. The researchers found that self-regulation was directly linked to substantially better decision quality.
Which impacts everything.
Yeah. It facilitated smoother coordination across complex teams. It fostered productive conflict, where disagreements actually solve foundational problems instead of creating interpersonal drama. And it drove significantly higher overall job performance.
Because those leaders are consistently making high-stakes decisions with a fully oxygenated prefrontal cortex, rather than firing off survival-based choices from an amygdala hijack.
So we understand the biological mechanics of the thermostat, and we see the massive business value of keeping it calibrated. The obvious next step is application. How do we actually fix a broken thermostat?
Well, Goodner lays out several highly actionable research-backed tools to rewire this neurological system.
The overarching theme of these tools is that self-regulation is not a personality trait you were born with. It is a muscle built through repetition in very small, unglamorous moments.
Exactly. It takes practice.
Let's look at the first tool called Name It to Tame It. This isn't just a catchy phrase. It is rooted in a fascinating neuroimaging study. They proved that simply assigning an accurate, silent label to a disruptive emotion in real time measurably reduces the amygdala's grip on your nervous system.
It sounds almost too simplistic to work. But biologically, the act of searching your vocabulary for the right word forces blood flow to return to the language and logic centers of your prefrontal cortex.
You are literally using language to trick your brain into turning the rational lights back on. So the next time you feel that heat rising in your chest during a meeting, you just pause and silently articulate it in three words or less. Frustrated and disrespected, or anxious about the timeline.
Just giving it a name is half the battle of regulation.
The second tool deals with our most common pitfalls, the 24-hour rule.
This one is incredibly difficult to execute, but it is a game changer.
The assignment is to identify one single communication channel where your reactivity typically gets the best of you. For most leaders, it's email or a messaging app like Slack.
Oh, Slack is a big one.
Huge. For the next 7 days, anytime you feel an emotional spike reading a message, you are encouraged to type out the most blistering, defensive, aggressive reply you want.
Ugh.
But you are forbidden from hitting send for a full 24 hours.
It artificially enforces that crucial pause. Goodner notes that leaders are routinely astonished by how many of those heated drafts they end up quietly deleting or drastically softening the next morning.
I can imagine.
It feels agonizing to hold it back in the moment. But that simple rule prevents the kind of reactive communication cascades that permanently damage vendor trust or decimate team morale.
You are putting a massive speed bump on the road between stimulus and response. The third practice is the pre-meeting thermostat check. This is about intentionality. 5 minutes before walking in any high-stakes environment, you sit alone and ask yourself three questions.
Okay, what are they?
First, what temperature am I running right now? Am I carrying frustration for my last call? Second, What set point do I actually want to bring into this room? And third, what is one tangible action I can take in the first 60 seconds to get myself there?
That is brilliant. Maybe that action is taking a slow walk down the hall, doing a quick breathing exercise, or simply getting a glass of cold water.
Right.
The vital distinction here is that you are not psyching yourself up to fake being calm.
Yeah.
You are genuinely calibrating your internal instrument before you attempt to measure or lead the room with it.
And the final practice acknowledges our humanity. It is about the aftermath, specifically debriefing a bad reaction, because you will fail at this. Everyone does.
Oh, absolutely.
When you snap at an employee or send an email you regret, you sit down with a piece of paper and write three sentences. What was the exact trigger? What did I actually feel underneath the anger? And what would the fully regulated version of myself have done instead?
And that reflection must be followed by repair. If your broken thermostat impacted your team, you go back and offer a brief, honest acknowledgement. You don't need to over-apologize or turn it into a therapy session, but you must name what happened.
I reacted poorly to that news yesterday.
Right. I was feeling anxious about the timeline, but I shouldn't have cut you off. That level of honesty rebuilds the psychological safety the black hole sucked away.
So what does this all mean? Which brings us full circle to Daniel. Gunnar shares the end of Daniel's arc. Daniel committed to using these exact tools, and the initial transformation didn't show up in his quarterly revenue. It showed up in the silence at the beginning of his Tuesday meetings.
The silence got shorter. The ecosystem began to heal because the invisible threat was gone.
Exactly. Because Daniel's thermostat was finally functioning, the room felt safe to breathe again. Priya started bringing him logistical problems early when they were still manageable sparks instead of waiting until they were raging fires.
Which is exactly what he wanted in the first place.
Yes. The CFO stopped staring at his coffee cup and started offering strategic pushback. Within 6 months, they successfully saved that critical Henderson account. And they didn't pull that off because Daniel magically transformed into a flawless, unbothered executive.
He was still human.
They achieved it because Daniel became honest and he became self-aware. He never stopped feeling the heat of the job. He just finally learned how to steer the car while feeling it.
That is the ultimate hallmark of a thriving business culture. The leader ceases to be a bottleneck of unacknowledged anxiety and transforms into an active, conscious regulator of the environment.
Thank you for spending time with us on this deep dive into the invisible internal operating system that powers your leadership. Doing the work to examine your own thermostat is incredibly challenging, but as the data clearly shows, it is the highest return on investment you can possibly achieve for your career.
It fundamentally changes not just how you navigate stress, but how intelligently everyone around you is able to function.
So I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over as you step back into your daily routine. We talked extensively about how suppressed emotion inevitably leaks into an ecosystem. Look back at a major professional decision you made in the past year, maybe letting an employee go, walking away from a massive deal, or abruptly changing a core strategy.
We all have those moments.
It was a decision that you swore to yourself, and your board was purely logical at the time. Knowing what you know now about the neuroscience of the amygdala and how the prefrontal cortex loses blood flow under stress, was that decision actually driven by logic? Or was it just a slow leak from a broken thermostat you didn't even realize you had? Keep a close eye on your internal temperature. See if you can catch yourself in that critical half-second pause tomorrow, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.
Thank you for joining us for this episode. If you have any questions about this week's episode, or maybe a suggestion for future episodes you'd like us to explore, please contact us through our website at eqfit.org. For more information and inspiration, connect with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube at eqfit.org.